Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. This is the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And it's been an interesting week here around the McBurney compound. We've suffered the death of a goat, a longtime goat, nice goat, good goat, friendly goat. The good goats always die young. It's sad. But he wasn't exactly young, but he wasn't. Anyway, it was very disturbing. And so we're in a bit of mourning around here over the goat. And then I have a question that I want to pose early in the broadcast, and then perhaps we will revisit it later, but perhaps not. So you have a family. You know what it's like to have a family, right? An extended family and then family that you haven't talked to in a while. And how long after a death in the family is it acceptable to bring up the topic of God, heaven, hell, or any of those? How long? We'll revisit that later. Speaking of death, let's go to Los Angeles, California, where ABC News reports that Eric and Lyle Menendez are currently serving life without the possibility of parole. Why, you may ask? You may not remember, but in 1989, they murdered their parents with shotguns and then changed their stories during the trial about a half a dozen times. Now, why they weren't sentenced to death is beyond the capacity of a rational human being to comprehend, but they were not. Because it's Los Angeles, it's America in the 20th century, and we've lost our way. So Eric and Lyle were sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Now, next week, a resentencing hearing will move forward under a communist judge who I will not name. And my fear is that they will be resentenced to a sentence that results. Well, here's the thing. If the LA justice system gets its way, Lyle and Eric Menendez will never be paroled. They'll be resentenced, and the sentence will mean they'll be immediately set free. So you could look at it and say that the sentence to which they were originally sentenced back in the early 90s, well, the sentence only really changes from the life in prison perspective, and at least Los Angeles drew the line at parole. There will be no parole for Eric and Lyle Menendez, no matter what. No matter what, they will not be paroled. So George Gascon, the former L.A. district attorney, had lobbied for the release of the Menendez brothers because Gascon is a satanic, murderous, illegitimate bastard. And he rules from the grave via illegitimate other judges and other lawyers in Los Angeles that's been infected by the justice system virus. So I just finished a book called Seven Men Who Rule from the Grave, all about Freud and Darwin and Dewey and Marx. Anyway, very interesting. Gascon isn't, technically he's not dead. He's still enjoying a life of luxury, if that's possible in Los Angeles. But he rules from the professional grave. And we'll just have to see next week if he manages to release the Menendez brothers from the political grave. And then it will be interesting to see who the Menendez brothers kill next once they're released. Very disturbing. That's from the Just a System file. No parole. We draw the line in Los Angeles. We have some standards. In Los Angeles, they will certainly never be paroled. Now, the life in prison thing. So, life in prison without the possibility of parole. When they were sentenced to that, the jury and the people thought that that meant they would never get out of prison, but that's not what that meant. It meant they would never be paroled. I hate to have to explain it, but I know that it's better to go ahead and explain things. Meanwhile, let's go to the, we have a new file, the MAGA. Whoops. That was the wrong button. MAGA. Really? File. This is the Make America Great Again. Really? File. Yeah. Make America Great Again. Really? Okay. Trump has started paying illegal immigrants $1,000 each to self-deport. So why is the government stealing money from the taxpayers and giving it to criminals to facilitate their departure from the country? Because it'll save the taxpayers money. About $1 million per family, if you don't look too deeply into what I just said about $1 million. That's right. The Trump administration claims that in order to save the American taxpayers $1 million per illegal family, they're going to pay $1,000 to each illegal immigrant to self-deport. They're going to give them a plane ticket for free. So first, we're going to pay for the plane ticket, which that I don't protest because there's got to get them out of here. It's the government's obligation to get them out of here. And our taxpayer dollars should fund the deportation of illegals and other criminals from our country. Actually, we should just punish the criminals no matter where they're from. But I don't want to get sidetracked. So I don't protest paying for the flight home. But now DHS will pay not only for the commercial flight out, they will send cash to the illegal once they confirm they've left. So the United States government is going to bribe criminals in order to get them to obey the law, which is perfectly in line with exactly who Donald Trump is. Donald Trump doesn't know right from wrong. All he knows is, I'm going to make a deal. It's going to save you. It's going to save us all money. It's going to make America great again. Because he's a degenerate, vulgar, perverted, left-wing socialist who somehow bamboozled the evangelicals and the bikers and half the people who were at that bar where we ate lunch yesterday. We went and ate lunch at a bar yesterday, like old school bar.
Oh, that was
well, a sports bar. Well, anyways, it's not a total dive bar. Although there were a number of people there who were there strictly to drink, and it was like noon when we got there, and there were some dedicated people in the sleeveless t-shirt, the tank top, and the shorts. They were there strictly to drink. And the food wasn't that bad, actually. The reason we went was we had heard from a really drunk guy a while back that the food was really good. And it turned out the food wasn't that bad.
Why do we take a drunk guy's opinion?
Well, you know.
Anyway.
So it was the only place we hadn't been. And so we went. And so half the people at that bar where we ate lunch, they would cheer the fact that Donald Trump is offering to bribe criminals in order to obey the law because none of them know right from wrong, and it's just all very sad. So just because it saves taxpayer money, Don, doesn't mean it's okay for the government to violate morality. It's dangerous, and it's a bad precedent for people to see the government violating morality. which is why if the Menendez brothers get out, it's very bad. So paying illegals $1,000 each to self-deport, that's not as bad as releasing the Menendez brothers, Don. But when it gets to the point where you're comparing your Make America Great president to a communist degenerate pervert like George Gascon in order to make Don look good, that's bad. Don, don't compare yourself to George Gascon and then say that you're making America good again, great again, or anything again, except just more and more corrupt. Meanwhile, and by the way, this paying of the illegals to deport, that's already started because Donald Trump is the executive. He can spend this money that's already allocated. He can just start doing it. So he started doing it. That's right. This is from the Industry of Crime file, which Donald Trump is totally okay with participating in the Industry of Crime. He's just going to do it more efficiently, more cost effective to fund the criminal avalanche, the criminal epidemic that has engulfed America. Donald Trump's going to do it for less money, and he's going to make America great again. Did you hear me? Great, I said great. Not good. No. Better than good. Great. He's also calling for America to rebuild and reopen Alcatraz so he can house and lock up the most dangerous criminals. That's the way it's supposed to be, says Don. Alcatraz, to house the most ruthless and the most violent offenders. He posted on Real Donald Trump at X.com or whatever it is. He posted, Alcatraz will serve as a symbol of law and justice, law, order, and justice is in all caps. Alcatraz and justice are in all caps, along with, of course, Make America Great Again, which is always all caps. That the trademark is in all caps, although on the red hat, it's all caps all the time. Except for Elon, he has his own black one. He does his own thing. So I just want to let Donald Trump know that printing justice in all caps, typing it in all caps, does not make it more just. It does not make it more just for you, Don, to call for rebuilding a prison that is fundamentally immoral. It's fundamentally immoral to lock people up like animals. But Donald Trump has no clue as to how it should be. He says Alcatraz is how it should be. No, Don, you have no clue how it should be. And you're not helping. You're probably going to save us some money, and you're going to give everybody something to cheer about at the next UFC fight or NASCAR race or whatever it is you show up for. And all the MAGA and the bamboozled evangelicals can pump their fist and say, Make America Great Again. But you ain't, Don. Donnie needs help, folks. Don needs help. Now, what else is happening here? Now, this is obviously what I'm about. The story I'm about to give you is obviously Joe Biden's fault. This is from the Industry of Crime file. Target is scaling back self-checkout kiosks due to what they call rising concerns over theft, which they could have just said theft. But they said rising concerns over theft because people use a lot of extra words when they're uncomfortable about things. And Target doesn't want to just come out and say, well, the idea we had for saving a lot of money by not hiring cashiers and just having kiosks, that's been blown up by the massive amounts of theft. They don't want to say theft. So they say we have rising concerns over theft. And so those rising concerns have caused Target to quietly remove kiosks from certain stores in certain zip codes. We won't go any further into that. And then in other stores, they've imposed strict limits, like capping self-checkout use to 10 items or less, not counting what you plan to steal. When asked about the change, Target cited a shift in consumer preferences. So it turns out some of the consumers prefer to steal. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That band was always better when there was no vocal track. It's just, I mean, not to put too fine a point on, but that's, anyway, that's what it's like at Target stores in certain neighborhoods. You hear music like that. It's like someone's creeping up behind me. They're about to rob me. Anyway, the post-millennial continues on the Target article real quick. Target has been vocal over the past few years about organized retail theft. They've been vocal about it because it's costing them a ton of money and they're completely helpless. And they've been vocal to who? Not the government. Target should be able to ask the government for help and say, look, if you would just start caning people who steal from our store, in the parking lot of our store, you strip their pants off and cane them until they're bloody. And then we don't need, instead, they're investing in AI-powered surveillance cameras and electronic surveillance devices to detect items not scanned by customers. But all they need is the sheriff to cane one punk in the parking lot. And then all that money that they're spending on AI surveillance, that money could be invested in lowering prices for consumers. And a cane is not that much. Target could even spring for the cost of the cane, donate it to the sheriff's department. One punk, one parking lot, the end of our organized retail theft. In 2023, Target reported millions of dollars in losses due to stolen merchandise, prompting stores to lock high-theft products behind glass doors. And so you think of Target, right, which is run by a bunch of woke, pervert degenerates, and you think, well, this couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. But the thing is, it's happening to us, because we go to shop, and you walk into a store now, and the store looks like a prison camp. Everything's locked behind glass. There's an overweight Mexican guy standing there with a shotgun. I'm sorry. I went to Guatemala years ago, and you go to the grocery store, and there's like an overweight guy with a shotgun at the grocery store, at the bank, at pretty much every business. There's an overweight guy with a shotgun. And yeah, he's overweight, but he does have a shotgun. And so that's your future in America. Everything locked behind glass. And underpaid, overweight guys with shotguns ready to blow your brains out if you're caught shoplifting. And so I suppose the woke degenerate perverts at Target, they're getting what they deserve, but they're inflicting it on the rest of us. So, all right. Now, meanwhile, we have, here's another example of the source of the problem. This is from the death penalty file. This is about a guy who should have got the death penalty and a guy who shouldn't have. Trevor McEwen is accused of shooting and killing his neighbor, Aaron Martinez, in a road rage incident in Texas. Mr. Martinez should not have received the death penalty. And Trevor McEwen has admitted to the murder. He admitted to the murder during a SWAT standoff that lasted for hours. And then he was allowed to surrender, admitting that he had shot the guy and killed him. And then somehow the guy who admits he killed a guy is offered a $2 million bond, and he posts it, and he's released from jail. So how is it that a murderer can post bond and get, well, okay, accused murderer, although they have him on tape at the SWAT standoff that lasted for hours, admitting that he killed the guy in a road rage incident? Okay. So how does he post bond and get out? It's because nobody knows right from wrong anymore. Everybody from the president on down to the judge, to the district attorney, to the defense attorney, to the dog catcher, to the guy running the 7-Eleven, nobody knows what's right or wrong anymore. And so a murderer, a potential murderer, the guy hasn't been convicted yet, but he's, we do have him on tape admitting he killed the guy. And he still gets a bond, and he posts bail and gets out of jail. And now he was his trial was scheduled to begin this past week, but he escaped, cut off his ankle monitor, and fled. And last we heard, he's still on the run. He's facing charges of capital murder and four counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon just for good measure. Oh, and murder. So he's charged with murder and capital murder and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon because we have an industry built around crime. And see, the death penalty would destroy the industry. The death penalty and a cane would destroy the industry of crime. And then certain people would, I guess, be apoplectic. But perhaps if the crime becomes severe enough and acute enough in enough locations to where it starts creeping into the gated neighborhoods of the lawyers and the judges and the politicians and the vacuous, ignorant voters who vote for these morons. Perhaps if enough blood is flowing in the streets, somebody will stand up and say, you know, this industry that we've built, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it to employ the judges and the DAs and the criminalists and the prison guards. It's just not worth it. But the blood will probably have to run as high as the horse's bridle before you'll get anyone's attention. Because everyone's busy entertaining themselves. So they entertain themselves until someone breaks in their house and slaughters their family, and then they realize there's something wrong. I was busy watching movies. I didn't realize that civilization was collapsing into a Mad Max hellhole all around me. I didn't realize that. I was busy watching a movie. I was playing a video game the whole time. Anyway, this capital murderer has escaped. I'm just going to call him a murderer since he did confess on tape. The trial, they say, will have to be rescheduled after he is captured. That's assuming he's captured. And another jury will have to be selected because the jury they selected, there was no, yeah, they had to let that jury go. But you know what? Selecting another jury will ensure the employment of a number of people in the industry who they need to make a living too. Anyway, so when a guy confesses to killing another man during a SWAT standoff, his trial should be so swift that there is no time to consider bail. There's no question of bail. The trial is going to be over in 3 days. But we can't do that because there's a huge backlog of surplus murder that's been created by overproduction factors in the industry of crime. So certain overproduction factors that weren't considered have produced a massive surplus in murder and other crimes that have caused the... the assembly line, the belt there, it's backed up. And so this guy ends up being able to bail himself out of jail. So the surplus of murder and other violent crimes and the retail theft and the petty theft and the grand larceny and everything else, do you think all of that surplus crime was created inadvertently? I mean, we could be nice and try to say, well, you know, everybody's heart was in the right place when we wanted to be nice to all the criminals. But it's turned out badly and it was all a mistake. But I don't think so. I don't think it was inadvertent at all. I think this is exactly what certain elements of the governing authorities want. They like an industry of criminality. And they're all guilty of such horrible, awful crimes themselves. The people at the top of the government, The people running the government are so guilty of so many horrible, awful crimes, they can't find it in their hearts to sentence other people to just punishment because they're a bunch of criminals. It's a very sad place for the government to be. Who was I listening to the other day? Oh, I was talking to a pastor the other day. Who was telling me that, you know, people are starting to wake up, Doug, and realize that the government lies about everything. They lied to him about COVID. They lied to him about the Kennedy assassination. They're lying to them about this and that. I said, well, that's an awful place for the government to be because the government is good. The government is ordained by God, you know. And so the name of God is blasphemed among the heathen because of the heathens in the government. And it's a sad and scary place to be. And you might not realize it until someone interrupts your next Netflix binge with a mass murder right there in your living room. That might be what gets your attention. Somebody posted up on Facebook about a movie they watched, and they said, be careful about this movie. It ends up at the end, the main character's a tranny.
And thank you for the review.
Right? It's like, okay. Anyway, and then someone else posted, don't watch any movies made after 2010. Yeah. And so I posted up, hey, how about open up a Bible and look up the terms imagine and imagination in all their forms and just look at all the references throughout your whole Bible. And I had to post, by the way, you'll need a Bible published before 1895. Just to get the real effect of what's actually in the Bible. And then once you see what the Bible says about your imagination, you might want to reconsider constantly satisfying your appetite for entertainment that requires you to suspend disbelief. Because the regular suspension of disbelief in order to entertain and titillate yourself is dangerous. And it's evil and it's wicked. And you should cut it out. Yeah, I think one of the reasons everybody was duped so easily by the COVID hysteria was because everybody's watching movies all the time and it was a lot like a movie. Oh boy, here we go. It's going to be big time. And in fact, wasn't there a movie that came out around 2010 called Pandemic or Outbreak or some Breakout or something like that? It's almost as if the pop culture was conditioning the population in order to be duped, fooled, taken advantage of, and in a lot of cases, murdered and killed. And maybe not murdered in every case, but killed through negligence, hysteria, fear, and bad faith on the part of the government, which again gets us back to the sad and precarious position that we've put ourselves in, by the way. Remember America, by the people, of the people, for the people, is it? Or is it, right? Of the people, by the people, for the people. We vote, and what have we done? We voted in a bunch of derelict perverts. And they've destroyed everything that God gave us via our ancestors' hard work and suffering and perseverance and faith, and every little scrap of civilization that they left for us has been squandered and destroyed by a bunch of perverts that we put in office. So my advice to everyone out there is turn the VCR off.
VCR.
It's all right. So now I'm showing my age. Let your Netflix subscription lapse for just a little while. And please, just start paying attention. We'll be right back. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Yeah, I messed that up. That's all right. We'll just go with this. Well, I forgot to come back. Trying to come back, but... So anyway, that's all right. We were among friends here. All right. Speaking of being among friends, I have a story from the New York Post. And by the way, the New York Post is... The New York Post loves a clickbait headline more than journalistic integrity. Okay, I just want to warn you that going in. If you don't know that already, it's because you haven't read too many New York Post articles. So if you've been around for more than 5 minutes and read a few, you know what they are at the New York Post. Anyway, here's the headline. Afghan refugee who worked alongside U.S. troops killed over a parking spot in Texas. Colon, cops. So the headline is designed as clickbait. Oh my gosh, here's an Afghan who worked alongside our troops. Made it through the war and he's been killed over a parking spot, Alice. Let me click through that and see that story. This doesn't make America great again. And then the colon at the end of the headline and then the word cops. That means that the New York Post is basically saying, look, we're just going on what the cops told us. But we're going to publish the story for the sake of the clickbait headline. But in case any of this is not true, it's the cops' fault, because that's what they said. So this is the state of urinalism in America today. You're allowed to do this. And we don't know if any of this is true. This could all be completely made up and fake. The story of the father of two infant daughters, an Afghan refugee. He supported American special forces back in Afghanistan. And last Sunday, he was shot dead over a dispute over a parking space. Authorities and family said. Unquote. So at the end of all that, like tugging your emotion, I was almost weeping but at the end of that paragraph. That's according to authorities and families. We're not. So listen, to the editors of the New York Post, if you're not sure and you have to put in there that this is just what the authorities and the family said, maybe you should reconsider publishing the story if you're not sure. So if you're not sure, how can you report this? Do we not understand what journalism is? That you're supposed to source stories and double and triple check? And you can't have colon cops and authorities and family said. You're supposed to find out if the story's true before you publish it. But that would limit the amount of clickbait that the New York Post can churn out to the average moron. And so here we have The story goes on. The Post report. Now, this is just what the New York Post says. I'm not going to say that any of this is true. This is New York Post reports that Abdul Rahman Waziri was a 31-year-old who worked with U.S. Special Forces fighting against the Taliban. He fled to the U.S. He came here, started living outside of Houston with his two infant daughters. And now listen to the final couple sentences of the story. The alleged killer confessed to the cops that he had shot the other man, Mr. Abdul Rahman Waziri. And the gunman was allowed to walk free without charges after being questioned by the police. And then the New York Post closes the story with his family is calling for justice, meaning the man who was shot and killed. And so we can't really be sure that any of this is true, and we can't be sure of the circumstances of the killing, because why did the police let the guy go who shot him? Is it possible that the New York Post is leaving something out so that we'll have a tearjerker headline and a clickbait headline? Oh, I think it's possible. I think it's completely possible. Police generally don't let someone who shoots another guy walk away unless they don't think there was a crime. I mean, they might let him, well, the police don't even let him bail out a few days later for $1 million or $2 million. The police generally arrest someone who they think murdered someone in cold blood. So the police are not yet quite as corrupt as the rest of the industry, and they generally will arrest someone who they think killed someone in cold blood. And so the police obviously think that something was going on here besides just an innocent Afghan refugee being shot over a parking space. But the New York Post loves a clickbait headline more than they like journalistic integrity. And so what we will do here at the Weekly Worldview, in the interest of journalistic integrity, is we will follow up on this story and find out what actually happened, if that's possible. I will make a note right here to follow up. And then I'm going to put this not in my normal pile that I throw away, but I'll put it in the pile that I follow up on. All right. Now, meanwhile, while that was going on in Houston, whatever it was, I clicked on it. Afghan refugee killed over a parking space. Oh, how do you not click? And meanwhile, the world is on the precipice of a nuclear exchange between the Hindus and the Muslims. And it's because the Muslims, once again, have slaughtered a bunch of Hindus in a terrorist attack in Kashmir. Natural News reports that the fragile peace between nuclear-armed rivals, Hindu India and Muslim Pakistan, that fragile peace is unraveling at terrifying speed after a terrorist attack in Kashmir. 26 Hindus were slaughtered by the Muslims. And now India has taken some pretty drastic measures, including cutting off the water to Pakistan, which that's a big deal, let me tell you. It has happened before. In fact, it happened, I forget, it's 10, 15 years ago after the Muslims just slaughtered a busload of Indians. India tweaked the water a little bit, and I'll tell you what, Islam is bad. Pakistan gets 80% of its agriculture is from the Indus rivers, is watered by the Indus River, which is controlled by India. And what India did this past week was they shut off all the water for 24 hours, and just to get the attention of the government there in Pakistan. And then they turned the water back on and flooded and scared everybody. And that was India basically saying, look, if you want to, you know, if you want problems, we can give you problems. And then, of course, Pakistan said, well, we could just nuke some of your cities. And India said, oh, yeah, well, so can we. And now the water coming from India into Pakistan, that's been on again, off again. And it's been quite a diplomatic and military. There's been exchanges of artillery, and it's quite precarious. But fortunately, we have Donald Trump at the helm. And the one thing I will credit Donald Trump with is that he seems to be pretty good at this stuff. And hopefully he'll prevent a nuclear exchange between India and Pakistan by somehow bribing both sides, which I'd rather not pay for it, but I probably have to. I mean, I'm already paying the $1,000 to Miguel to go back to. No, I actually, it's not even Miguel. I'm paying it to Mahmoud to go back to Krapistan. I'm paying him $1,000 too. That's great. So hopefully Donald Trump and J.D. Vance will find ways to bribe the various people involved here, and they'll prevent a nuclear exchange. But it's pretty much been a foregone conclusion ever since the Indians gave up Pakistan, that eventually Pakistan will conquer India via a war. Or at least they'll make a serious attempt. It's a foregone conclusion. You can't just give up a significant amount of territory to a bunch of Muslim fanatic terrorists and then expect them to make nice. All right, but let's get back to making America great again. This is from the MAGA really file. So seriously, this is supposed to make America great again? Listen to this. President Donald Trump says that he will establish the National Center for Warrior Independence. And he's going to establish it at the West Los Angeles Veterans Administration campus. Now, you may know about the West Los Angeles Veterans Affairs Medical Center. It was founded about 100 years ago when a couple of senators out in California donated hundreds of acres of land that they owned out in West Los Angeles. West Los Angeles, I said. That's supposedly the nice part. That's the part where you're not choking on smog and being carjacked at every light. It's West Los Angeles. They donated all this land on the condition that the government use the land to house disabled veterans. So let's go back 100 years. It'd be like early. It's a little over. It was right after World War I. So a lot of Americans came back from World War I. They had their arms and their legs blown off. And so a couple of socialist do-gooder senators back then thought they would, instead of donating the land and setting up their own institution in order to help people, they donated it to government because, well, it was the progressive era and, you know. Who wants to get your hands dirty actually helping somebody without limbs? You know how difficult that can be. I mean, it's very time-consuming. He doesn't have any arms. What am I supposed to do? Like everything for him? And so instead of actually helping individual people with their arms and legs blown off, the senators donated land to the government, and then the government promised to do good. And a number of people involved have done very well indeed. But the actual facility has collapsed into utter deterioration. It used to support. It used to house about 6,000 veterans, but now it's been allowed to deteriorate, and it's a hellhole. Frankly, it's a dilapidated, poisonous place where you wouldn't want to put like the worst criminals. It's as bad as Alcatraz, except it still has running water, and it hasn't been shut down completely. But it's a mess. And so now Donald Trump says he's going to take that mess and he's going to do pretty much the same thing. But instead of using anything of his own, he's going to donate your money and mine in order to do socialism better than it was done by them dumb Democrats. Because Donald Trump is a more talented and better socialist than the Democrats ever thought they could be. And that's how he's going to make America great again, by doing socialism better than the Democrats, with better paint and more lucrative maintenance contracts going to the private sector, you see, because we're all going to make a deal and we're going to house the homeless veterans. So Trump's going to take your money and mine. And he's going to rehab the West Los Angeles Veterans Administration campus. And then he's going to name it. Listen to what he's going to name it. Did I already say? The National Warrior Independence Center. Where former warriors who are homeless derelicts will go to what? Be independent? No, it's where they're going to go to get government housing. Independence, Don, are you a member of the Politburo? This is how the Soviet Union used to name stuff. Like the opposite of whatever it was, that's what they would name it. So we got a housing project for derelict veterans, and we're going to call it the Independence Center. But nobody's there going to be independent. They're going to be reliant on the government. But you know what? In a couple of years, they'll trot out a couple of them who got jobs and got off heroin, and they'll say it's a great success. But then the rest of the derelict veterans there and the governing officials and the people running the maintenance contract, they will squander all the money, and the derelict vets will squander their lives. They'll just do it more comfortably under Trump with fresh coat of paint, new sheets. We'll fix up the theater so you can go watch movies, too. So it failed before. So let's do it again. Because MAGA socialism works better than stupid Democrat socialism. It's the Weekly Worldview. And I'm your host. I hit that one coming back. Oh, I still got it. All right. So for all my MAGA friends and brothers and sisters out there, please don't get upset with me. We're going to continue here from ABC News. Donald Trump. Well, first of all, we want to let all of you know the sad state of Air Force One. So because our government is just a bunch of bloated, degenerate, affluent, soft perverts, and the entire government is overrun with thieves. Not just the government, by the way. America. All of America. Private industry, the government, it's overrun with thieves and liars. Business, in my experience, runs on about 80% falsehood. And both sides of every deal know it's about 80% fake, but each side reserves the right to call the other side on the 20% that was supposed to be real. So go figure that one out. If you haven't been doing business, well, get out there and tell me if I'm wrong. Anyway, Air Force One, which is supposed to be the preeminent aircraft in America carrying around our president, is basically two aging Boeing 747s with peeling paint. Did I say 747s? All right. Two aging 747s with peeling paint and Naga hide that pokes you in the back because the springs are starting to poke through. They have been in service since 1990. 1990? Wow. How long ago is that? That's 35 years ago? I'd be scared to get on the plane. People were mad at Trump because he got on Air Force One and he said, man, this is a really crummy plane. So it's not because he's so rich and he's used to everything being nice. It's because Air Force One is a dilapidated, crummy plane. But there's been a contract between the Air Force and Boeing for like 20 years to replace it, but it's been riddled with delays and cost overruns, believe it or not, because people are stealing money from the project left and right and stuffing it in their pockets, and nobody's ever concerned about actually getting it done because it's the perfect symbol of America. Bloated, affluent, soft people. And programs overrun with lying thieves. And everybody's just worried about stuffing their own pockets full and stuffing their faces and their eyes and ears full of what they want right now and getting away with it. And they are getting away with it. And so in light of all that, because America's premier plane is a crummy dump, so ABC News reports that in what might be the most valuable gift ever extended to the United States, the Trump administration, we have to be careful because this has all been, the Trump administration is preparing to accept a Boeing 747 from the royal family of Qatar. The royal family of a Middle Eastern, nominally secular, but pretty much Islamic country is going to gift the next Air Force One to the American president.
That's bizarre.
So, and nobody at the NASCAR or at the UFC 395, none of them are concerned about this. That a Muslim royal family is donating an airplane to the United States government. That doesn't bother anybody? We can't, no, because we're all about making America great. And Donald Trump can do no wrong because he's making America great again. Forget the fact that he's taking a plane from a royal family in a country that has, in fact, hosted terrorists who lived there while they blew things up and killed innocent people. That's Qatar, or whatever you want to call it. But don't worry, all of you out there in MAGA land, get your UFC tickets and go and cheer Donald Trump next time he comes out and pumps his fist, because lawyers for the White House counsel's office conclude that it does not violate laws against bribery or the constitutional prohibition against U.S. government officials accepting gifts from, quote, any king, prince, or foreign state. And so you read that and you're like, well, how does this not violate that? This is a prince, literally a prince, okay? It's not like a made-up prince. The guy, this is like from the royal family of the government of Qatar. He's a literal prince with the beard and the, and he's got the shepherd's hook and the turban, the whole thing. Literally, he's on a camel, for crying out loud. He's got buckets of gold falling out, right? And he's giving the airplane to the president, and this doesn't violate the ban on accepting gifts from any prince? How is that? Well, just ask Pam Bondi. She's reviewed the whole thing. She's the attorney general. She agrees with the White House lawyer. They've concluded that it would be legally permissible, they said. And so why does they say legally permissible? Because they need some extra words, because it's not actually legal. So when something's not actually legal, but the lawyers have figured out a workaround, then they say, well, it's legally permissible. There's like one, two, three, four, five extra syllables and everything's good to go. Don't worry about it. Look the other way. Go get your UFC tickets. Go watch those two guys beat each other senseless while the president pumps his fists. And you do that, and we'll be busy making America great again. Really? All right. Well, we'll see about that. Okay. Now let's go to the former Great Britain. We've had our fun with America. And by the way, we're not just poking fun for poking fun's sense. Or for poking fun's sake. Sense? Does it make any sense? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. That's for you to decide. You're the one listening. You can turn it off at any time. Won't hurt my feelings. I have to do this to avoid going insane. So we have real solutions that we'll get to before the close of the show. Because there is help for Donald Trump. Even for the two guys beating each other senseless in the octagon over at the UFC, the guys with the tattoos and the blood all over them, punching each other and kicking each other, there's hope for them too. But let's go to the United Kingdom, the formerly Great Britain, from the decline and fall file. We have a report from a leading psychologist. Her name is Francesca Happy, I think. What is it when you have the E with the little accent mark over it at the end? Is that pronounced eh or E? Her name is Francesca, last name Happe with a little mark above it. And I can't ever remember what that's supposed to be. I'm just going to call her Francesca Happy because she is a professor of cognitive neuroscience at the Institute of Psychiatry, Psychology, and Neuroscience at the King's College in London. Which means she's very, very prestigious. And a leading thought leader and opinion maker and leader of opinions and makers and leaders of opinions at the college there. Francesca says, quote, an increasing number of people in Great Britain are choosing to self-identify as neurodivergent. So have you heard that term before? He asked his American audience and his extremely attractive audio engineer. Have you heard the term neurodivergent? That means abnormal, but it's a nice way of saying it. It means you're not typical. Okay, and here's what that really gets down to. The story is from the Sunday Times there in London. So if you woke up on Sunday morning and you were looking for something to read along with your tea and crumpets, you could open up the Times and find out that a majority of Britons may now consider themselves neurodivergent, meaning they have mostly self-diagnosed even,
themselves, being a self-diagnosis, it would involve themselves and themselves. They've self-diagnosed as experiencing conditions such as autism, dyslexia, or dyspraxia.
What's that?
I don't know. But I'm just happy about it. So autism, we know what autism is. That means they're retarded, but we say autism now because it's nicer. But they're retarded, okay? To varying levels, and I love retarded people. When I see a retarded person in the store, I think this is probably why God has mercy on the rest of us, is because of this guy. Because he's just innocent and loving and kind and anyway. So, but we used to say retarded, now we say autistic, and there's varying levels. We had a retarded kid in my high school, and he did okay, and I hope he's doing okay. He made it through high school. But then you have some people who are really retarded, and they can't go to school. But now it's autistic, and it's everyone from someone who can't sit still to someone who's actually retarded. And it's so people in England are self-diagnosing themselves as autistic or dyslexic, like dyslexia. We know what that is, right? That means you can't read very well. So you can't read very well. You have trouble learning how to read. You have trouble reading and comprehending, and that's dyslexia. Now, dyspraxia, that's a new one on me. Okay, and not to make fun of any of the dyslexics out there. So I feel for you. I had a hard time learning how to read. It didn't come completely naturally to me. I had to work at it. Sometimes I got confused about the order of the letters and stuff. I still do that on the show. I say things like out of order and I mispronounce things. I think I'm dyslexic. Look, I've just self-diagnosed myself. So I don't have to feel bad about confusing words and syllables anymore because I'm just dyslexic. But now dyspraxia, this means you can't do things very well. Because praxis is the Latin for, like, doing. And so now that if you're dyslexic and you can't figure out how to do stuff, that leads to you being dyspraxic, meaning you can't do stuff. And so if you've diagnosed yourself, self-diagnosed as autistic, dyslexic, and dyspraxic, that pretty much means you can't even get up out of bed or anything. You can't figure out what's going on, and you can't do any of it. And hence, Britain will grind to a halt because nobody can think of anything, figure anything out, or do anything because they've self-diagnosed as dyslexic and dyspraxic. Dyspraxia. Okay, well, I hadn't heard that one. That's a new one. But Professor Francesca says, she says, people are self-diagnosing with autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and all the other ways that you can be different from the typical. Don't feel bad about it, young man. You're just different. It's not that you're stupid and lazy. It's that you're different. You have a condition, you see. She says, and once you assign all the people with all the typical atypicalities, you actually don't get many typical people left. There's nobody typical left. And that's going to change society, but not in a bad way. Can't you see how much better things are getting now that nobody can think or do anything anymore? Happy days are here again. By the way, this psychologist who has, now she's diagnosed Great Britain and all the problems there. She was appointed commander of the Order of the British Empire in 2021. Which is something that the British government used to assign to people who picked up a gun or a sword and defended the empire against the forces of darkness. That's what it used to be. Now, a psychologist gets appointed because for her services to the study of autism. And by the way, professor of cognitive neuroscience at the Institute of Psychiatry, Psychology, and Neuroscience at the King's College London, Ms. Francesca Happy, is herself dyslexic, according to the Sunday Times. Of course she is. She's certainly not typical. And we can't expect her to do anything typical, like get a normal job and do all the work we need done. Let's just import more North Africans and let the English just degenerate into dyspraxia. It's so sad. You know, people will be as lazy and stupid as they're allowed to be, just generally speaking. There are a few people who, for whatever reason, decide to rise up over their appetite for stupidity and laziness, which we all have a certain appetite for that. And there are some people that rise above it. Mostly it's people who've been exposed to the idea that there's a God before whom you shall stand and be held to account. And so the fewer and fewer people who know about God and expect to stand before him and be judged, the more stupid and dyslexic and dyspraxic they'll allow themselves to become. And eventually they'll just sit in front of a screen and stuff candy in their mouth and watch entertainment all the time. That's what a significant number of people will do. And I think I'd like to see the numbers on how many of those there are in Britain. So anyway, a majority of Britons now consider themselves atypical. But don't worry, it's not a real big problem. It's just the cradle of Christian civilization just collapsing into the ocean of mediocrity and stupidity and dysfunctionality. Okay, meanwhile, let's go to Texas, the last great hope for this little portion of civilization. You know, everybody says that everybody's going to Texas because Texas still has some pockets of normalcy. It's only pockets, and those pockets are rapidly disappearing. We go now to Dallas, Texas, the capital there, where Catholics and evangelicals across Texas are rejoicing, and it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with Governor Greg Abbott, who is a lying, two-faced, bald-faced liar. He lied to a young boy who was dying of cancer just so he could make the boy feel good. He told the boy a lie. Greg Abbott said that he would sign a bill to ban the killing of innocent children. He said that to a young boy dying of cancer, and then he didn't because he's a liar. But Governor Greg Abbott, two-faced liar, did sign a school choice bill into law last week down in Texas, and evangelicals and Catholics are rejoicing. Why? Because evangelicals and Catholics are generally biblically illiterate degenerates, just generally speaking. They go to church, though. The new law that the evangelicals and Catholics are so excited about establishes a $1 billion education savings account to be managed by the state and to empower certain families by allowing certain tax dollars to follow certain students to some of the schools of their parents' choice, possibly maybe if you sign all the paperwork and jump through all the hoops and the state declares that it's the right type of school and it's the right time and filled out the forms. And so evangelicals and Catholics are celebrating this step toward greater educational freedom. Yes. So down in Texas, the brainwashed masses in the Catholic and evangelical churches who feed their kids into the government school machine, they are celebrating going from absolute slavery to just mostly slavery. And they're celebrating their slavery, even though technically they're free, which is really sad. Because all of these parents who are complaining about the fact that their tax dollars are being stolen and that they can't use them to put their kids in a Catholic school, they're all free to educate their kids themselves. But, unfortunately, they're slaves to their appetites for entertainment and comfort. And so they're not free. I mean, they're technically free, but they can't give up their appetites for luxury and affluence and comfort and mostly entertainment. And so they feed their kids into the government school factory while mom goes to work to make enough money to pay for the aforementioned appetites. Anyway, down there in Texas, the new school choice program, it's designed to serve up to 90,000 students. Now, I'm not sure how many there are in Texas, but let's just assume there's a way more than 90,000. Way more. But since this is a government program and it's just designed to bamboozle, we don't need to actually serve all the kids. We just need to serve enough to pass this off through the next election as if we've done something to set people free, when actually what we've done is not much of anything for anyone. We'll give up maybe 90,000 people up to $10,000 to pay for tuition and related expenses as we approve them. It's an educational saving program, and anyway. So 2025 Texas, the last bastion of freedom in America, is the Soviet Union of 1960. Wake up, people. Crack open a Bible and get used to the idea that there is a God in front of whom you will stand in judgment and be responsible. And that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview, to remind you of that and to invite you all back should the Lord tarry. We'll return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.